Swag. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Outcast podcast. I'm here with my special guest today, Adrian Cash. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. I've known you from
school, bro.
From school day. This is crazy because it's just like, it's crazy how we went from school to seeing you and doing your thing. And then now you're actually one of my clients as well.
Amen.
On the talent agency. So yeah, man, like start from school and then work your way up. Like, what's been happening since then? I remember you singing in like the choir, you and what was the other guy's name?
Hakeem.
You two were like the best singers in that year. Do you know what I mean? And you guys were coming with such a next flavor of like, yeah, man, you guys were coming with a next flavor of songs and like vibes, and everyone was just doing a traditional rock pop kind of just old school Beatles or whatever, and then you lot came with just some new stuff, man.
Yeah. So during school, actually, when I was in A levels, I performed at the O2.
Right.
Left school, went to university to study kind of the business aspect of music, because I was signed independently for a year.
All right.
But I didn't know what they were supposed to do with the contracts once you're actually signed.
Right.
So one of my teachers, his wife was a backing singer for like the European stuff when John Legend would be over here.
Uh-huh.
So he said, go to uni and study commercial music because, you know, you get time to focus on your craft and then you also learn about the industry as well.
Right.
And you learn contracts and you learn all of that. And, you know, it's just perfect for you if you want to be an artist.
Exactly.
So I went there it was a great experience, but it was also a work. Like, I had to work because that was the first time I dedicated my life to like music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Up until that, I was doing all academics.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that I was actually like just in the creative industry.
Right.
And I was surrounded by all of these people that had been in the creative industry like all the way throughout their lives, mm-hmm. you know, as kind of their purpose. So I had to do a lot of catching up. And I caught up, you know.
Yeah. Because you naturally had it. That was the thing that kind of, when I saw you in schools, kind of, yeah, that he's naturally got it. You and Hakeem, but I'd say more you than Hakeem, because he was very kind of stuck in one genre where you were doing reggae. Like, I remember you in assembly doing a reggae song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what song was it? Do you remember? But I remember you doing it, and no one, like, at that time, and because we were so young, no one was doing that style of music to, like, publicly.
But then,
so,
remember, I'm Jamaican, like, my family.
Exactly, that's
like,
true. And you were having, like, you had dreads at the time as well.
No, not dreads.
What
single
was it?
Plaits.
Okay. See, I don't know these things, man. But, yeah, that's cool, man. That's dope. So, like, so you went through that, and then what happened next? What, between?
So, when I left uni,
okay.
The idea was to pursue music full time.
Right.
But obviously, I had to get a job. So I started working. And
that life,
as you work, you notice that the scales kind of tilt more to
work
than it does to music.
Mm-hmm.
And so from 2014, when I graduated, to about 2016, I was in full time work.
Okay.
Doing music here and there, performing here and there, trying to do projects and whatever. But again, it was very difficult.
Mm.
Because I was working in corporate at the time as well.
Right.
So after about 2016, I went to Jamaica. And I think that's when my perception of what I needed to do in terms of work kind of changed. So then I went there and I was playing some of the stuff that I'd already recorded and they loved it. And then when I came back, I quit my job.
Wow.
I handed in my notice.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I need some sort of income because I am a self-funded musician. So I was like, I need some sort of income. So what can I do? So I stayed in the job actually for about 3 months and then you're just kind of planning.
I cut
myself down part-time planning, like thinking of all the stuff that I could do.
Yeah.
while spending all that extra time just working on music, working on performances and stuff. Then in December, when I'd finally handed in my final notice saying, yo, I'm leaving in a month, the audition. So Backchat literally landed at the end of November, I believe.
Okay.
And I remember seeing the thing and I was like, oh my days, that is lit. I love it. You know, I was like, I want to talk.
Yeah.
So my managers at the time, I was like, yo, how can I get in contact? Mm-hmm. Like, how, you know? So when I handed in my resignation now, funnily enough, about a week after I handed in my resignation, someone got to me on Twitter and they were like, yo, Backchat's auditioning and you're always tweeting about it, you're always talking about it. And they were like, reach out. So then I sent an email with like everything that I'd done to that point, because I'd done some acting, I'd done, you know, a lot of music and stuff like that. So I'd sent all of that into them and I was like, yo, look, I want to be on your show, you know, with some aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
And they got back to me. So literally, I quit my job and I started doing bus driving as a part-time thing so I could still keep the funds going in. And weirdly enough, I got the email on the same day that I started training for the buses that I got through to be on the chat.
That's crazy, man.
And then the rest is, as they say,
history. Right, I want to get into the whole bus thing, because you're very open about, as much as you tell us like you left the corporate world and stuff, you're very open about, you know, the being a self made kind of artist and you know, going through that journey. And I remember when I started watching your bus rants on Instagram, like, what was the process, explain the process of like coming up with that idea and say, you know what, I'm actually going to share this part of my life with people, because not many artists would be that open. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know what, I didn't really have a choice, because obviously being on Backchat, it's not like,
that's true,
it's not like I could make myself invisible when I was what I did to limit my exposure anyway was that I keep to like minimal routes. Like there's people there's people in the garage that they do like 700 routes. I don't do that. I do one main thing.
Right.
So everybody on that route, more or less, they know that I drive, right? But I like up until that point, like I'd been going viral on Twitter for driving the buses for months before that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like people would come on my bus, not realize, take pictures, you know, and then put it on Twitter or whatever. And then, it, you know, you'd get thousands and thousands of messages like, oh my, you know, people would be cussing and then people would be defending and stuff like that. So it's not like it was something that was hidden anyway.
Right.
But in terms of the bus driver rants, it was like, maybe frustration, maybe boredom. I think boredom, because I remember the first one I did was that like, it was late and I think I was doing like the latest duty on the route. And when you're sitting there for like 15, 20 minutes waiting to pick up nobody, you're bored. And I was just frustrated because I was like, And then I saw something that I found quite funny. It was this girl and it was snow, because you remember earlier this year when snow wasn't supposed to be falling, I think it was Easter time.
Yeah.
And she had like this skimpy little shirt on. And I remember,
typical Londoners, man.
Yeah, no, but I was so confused because I'm sitting on the bus, I'm freezing and that's heater, right? Yeah. And she's walking in heels in the snow in his little top. And when I got to the, like I was thinking about all the way to the to the stand, and I just got there and I was like, that's rude.
It's cool, man. Anything goes here. Let's go.
And then I said in the Jamaican accent in my head, because I've gone through this stage now since 2016 where I'm chipping in and out of my Jamaican-ness. So I was sitting on the bus and I thought, what a very evil woman.
Right.
Oh, she had walked down the road and that's literally where it came from. It came out of fun and boredom.
Right.
People really took onto it. And they would send me DMs like, yo, please do more. And then, so I just started asking people, I was like, so what, you know, do you want me to talk about? So, you know, based on what they do, and I only ever do it if the situation actually happens.
Right.
Because I don't want the novelty of it to get taken away. You know what I mean? I think I don't like to force it because I'm not a comedian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't want to kind of confuse the brand or confuddle the brand a little bit to make them think, okay, he's trying to be a comedian now. I'm not trying to be a comedian. This is just kind of something special that I like to sprinkle out there for the people that love it. So I only ever do it. So any stories about the bus driver rants that I put out is because literally like 5 minutes ago, somebody done it.
Did something.
You know what I mean?
And it's real authentic. It's real.
And that's when I find it's funnier. Because it's like, it's fresh, it's actually happened, as opposed to sitting there and thinking about something that happened to like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, so that's where the bus driver thing came
from. That's cool, man. Like, with the whole corporate thing, or the whole, like, having a part-time job or whatever the case is when it comes to, you know, being an artist as well, how do you kind of get through those days where it's like, you know where you're called to be, but in this journey, you're actually at this specific place of, you know, you've got to grind, you've got to, you know, keep moving. Like, what's your mental kind of thought process when you're going through certain days?
It changes.
Right.
But right now, I think I've clocked how to manage it. And I spent a lot of time at the beginning of the year and the end of last year working with a life coach, just to understand that life naturally goes like, right, you know, like water. But what we tend to do as human beings is we hold on to the highs,
yeah,
so that when the lows do come, it feels lower than it actually, right, is, as opposed to just kind of riding the wave. So I'm at a stage now where I write everything down,
mm-hmm,
and I visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like a goal board in my room that it has my goals that I want to achieve.
Right.
And so even if I'm like, yo, I'm not where I want to be, I can still look at that board and be like, okay, I've still got work to do.
Oh, yeah. I've got a similar thing. I've got, yeah, I know, I can relate 100%.
Yeah, because it's important to see it, because once it's in your head, it's,
oh, just definitely, an idea. Yeah, yeah. Once you get it on paper, make it,
yeah,
make it plain, then it's just, yeah, an idea
if it's in your head. Right. If it's on paper, it's a commitment.
Of course.
You know? And so, yeah, I do have down days when I'm like, oh, I'm so frustrated. And you know.
Yeah.
I've been,
yeah,
messaging you like, you, I'm so done, up, with, right, this music. But you just have to write it. You just have to learn it. You just have to remember that there's a purpose there. And I think that's, for me, like, I remember there's a purpose,
yeah,
there. And then luckily for me, again, as I said, that there's certain days where certain things happen and it just reminds me.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
a little tweet or a message, right, on my inbox would be like, yo, I love this song, I can't wait for more. And those types of things.
It empowers you, yeah.
Yeah, it just empowers me. And then you see the vision board and you're like, yo, there's a bigger purpose to me than, yeah, this. So
I know that feeling, man, because especially when you look at your vision board and you start ticking off certain things.
Yes.
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world.
I ticked off 3 things this week. I was so gassed.
What were those 3 things? What were those 3 things?
I can't say. I will say eventually, but okay, right now, you know what? Like somebody said to me the other day, keep your cards close, yeah, to your,
yeah,
chest.
No, I hear that. I respect that 100%.
I'll say it to you off,
yeah, yeah, but
camera, but you,
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah. Cool. All right, while we're still kind of on the topic of social media, like, explain... First of all, there's 2 things I want to talk about. The memes. Because they've... we got to go there, bro. The memes. Explain the memes, because obviously there was one picture in particular that... you were looking dapper. I'm not going to lie. You were looking dapper on that day. And I'm assuming it was at one of the Bat Chat...
Reunions. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, how did that...
I was trying to be T'Challa's Jamaican cousin. Because you know you have Killmonger. That's, right, his cousin. So I, yeah, wanted to be the Jamaican one, Warmonger.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that day, you know what? It's the end of the Black Panther scene, yeah? And I said, I need to look like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I said,
yeah, yeah,
the reunion's, yeah, coming, yeah, and that's what
that,
I,
so, did, yeah, yeah.
Bro, I went out of my way to go and Google scarves. Like,
wow.
I spent time.
That's good, man.
So I did look that part. Yeah. So it's fantastic that that's the image that's like...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
...really taken off. And you know what? Funnily enough, yeah... Those are just my natural expressions. I know
you're a very expressive person.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and in that moment, that's just how I felt, and,
right,
and somebody just print screened it at the correct moment, and it just worked, and it's done bits. You know, every other day, I'm getting people tagged into like big play,
wow,
like 7.6 million. Followers, and they're posting my image, and I'm sitting there like, damn, boy. Miguel commented on underneath one of it, so I'm just waiting for Rihanna. Remember, I told you this, baby, you're gonna have my babies,
yo,
and you're gonna post my meme.
That's funny. I like that. Let's take it further and kind of deeper into this thing with social media. I remember the other day I tried to tag you in something and you weren't there.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh snap, like, what happened? So I went to WhatsApp. I was like, yo, dude, like, are you okay? You're like, for real? And he was like, yo, yeah, man, I just took a break for a couple of days or a week,
yeah,
or whatever.
No,
and I was like,
yeah,
that made me think, like, oh snap, like, so explain, like, why you think it's important to possibly, I don't know, take breaks, or what was it, getting too much, or like, explain,
you know,
that
what? I working with the life coach, what I realized was one of my biggest problems was kind of putting a lot of importance into other people's perceptions or thoughts of me.
Okay.
and I think
that's it's cool. Keep going.
And that's not a good thing.
Right.
So, and then on top of that, sometimes you'd compare yourself unnecessarily. Like, I'm friends with quite a few people that's doing bits.
Yeah, you know what I mean? of course.
And so it's not necessarily out of jealousy, but it's out of kind of frustration where sometimes you look at them and you're like, yo, I'm grafting just as hard. I'm working just as hard. You know what I mean? And you start to belittle yourself and be like, yo, maybe it's not going to work for me. I'm getting old. All of these types of things. And it kind of, it derails you when you are trying to achieve something in your own lane. And someone said to me, and I'll actually say his name, Ricardo Williams.
Right. Yeah. He's performing tonight, actually. Amen with Faith Evans. I'm going to that later on. Yeah.
So he said to me, he said, bro, you're in your own lane and you came out swimming.
Yeah.
And when people say stuff like people may think things like that, but they very rarely say it. And so when people say stuff like that, you have to understand that there's a goal and there's a mission that only you can achieve and you can accomplish. And everybody has that same thing, you know. But when we start to compare ourselves to other people, especially our friends, when our friends are doing fantastically well, it can derail you.
Oh,
I realized that there was a point where I felt like I was allowing, not jealousy, but just confusion as to why I'm working equally as hard, why I'm on such a big platform, but it's not going in the way that I wanted it to go to. And I realized that sometimes you just have to take yourself away from the... Because social media is linked to depression.
Oh, definitely. Like, we're going to talk about that later as well. Yeah,
it's linked to depression. So it's like you go on social media and you see all of these things happening in such a quick instant. Right. Like you can you could be chilling with your boy yesterday and then tomorrow he signs a deal and you're confused.
Yeah, you're confused.
Or it looks like tomorrow he's signing a deal, right?
Right.
But you don't understand the time and the effort. Like obviously I would know, but you don't understand the time and the effort that's gone into that.
So right.
For a lot of people, it has the potential to make you very, it stops you from being productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I do is I go through social media breaks when I feel like I'm getting to a stage where I'm frustrated and I know that that comparison edge is coming.
Cut it.
There you go. I say cut it. Because then the only thing I can focus on is me. Do you know what I mean? And I can focus on getting my goals correct.
Definitely.
And I can focus on doing what I need to do to go to where I need to go to. And it's important. You know what I mean? To take that break and just to stop stressing your mind. It's good to know what's going on in the world, but sometimes it can bring you down. Sometimes it can derail you. So I just take regular social media breaks so that I can just make sure that I'm focused. Make sure that I can analyze myself against myself as opposed to analyzing myself against somebody else.
I remember there was one time, you called me and you were like, bro, like, I don't think I can do this though. Like, this, you was getting intense. You was like,
that was recently.
Yeah, yeah. There's recent moments, I'm not gonna lie. But you just went, bro, I'm grafting hard, man. And other people are just like, what's happening? I was like, and the first thing I said was, don't watch other people, do your thing. Just literally do your thing. And within the next day, you got called, yo, my song got played on like one of the biggest playlists on Spotify or whatever it was. And I was like, you see?
Just like, but you see, that's the thing. See, that's when you start comparing yourself to other people, right? Because it's like, I'm not going to say who, but I went down social media and I saw somebody that I met performing, right? And we was in the gym and she said something to me like, oh, do you still do music? Mind you, we still follow each other on social media, right? She was like, she was like, oh yeah, you know you do back chat. I don't really watch it. So I just felt like it was very like, you know, like under the counter kind of digs. And like, it didn't bother me at that moment, but I'm the type of person, like, things don't bother me in the moment. It's when I go away and I'm chilling and I'm relaxing and then your brain starts to process. And your brain was like, did that? She just asked me if I do music and we follow each other on social media. And, you know, she's doing well in music and I shout out and I'm proud of her and stuff like that. But I felt like I was sitting there like, raw, like.
Yeah.
That's when I started to question. And then the next day I was just moody the whole day because of it.
Right.
And then you go on social media And you see people putting out songs and stuff, and you're sitting here like, yeah, I'm sitting on gold, and it's not time to put it out yet, but I want to put it out. Because, right, you know, it's all of this kind of rush to prove stuff to people.
Yeah.
And then I just, that's why I messaged you. I was like, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, no, I was tired. I was just mad because I was like, you know, these people are sleeping on me and they're doing it purposely. We follow each other. So, you know, and then the next day.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the next day, it was the same day.
Okay, cool.
I think I messaged you in the morning and then I got the email when I was finishing work. Yeah, because, you know, and on top of it, I was having a stressful day because I was on a bus driving and people pissed me off.
Right.
And then, and then that day, I'm telling you, I was just very moody. My face was very screwed. And then I got the email and as I said, going back, it's those little moments that come of and course. Reminds you. Relax.
Yeah, calm you got down, it. It's all patient. In.
And so now someone said to me at work here, yo, bro, just take your time.
Yeah.
So now with everything, that's what I do. And so if I feel like I need time away from social media ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it's
you
true.
You know what I mean? So sometimes my mental health is more important. So
I agree.
That's why I take the risk.
Cool. The DMs. I'm asking you everything today, bro. The DMs, man. Like, I remember, obviously, recently Instagram released their questions
thing.
So I saw a lot of questions answered that you put up, and you were just like, are you people crazy? Like, I can imagine your DMs must be crazy. And you were talking about, there was one Insta story you put out about putting out your shot. Mm-hmm. And then if it's shooting not your shot. Yeah, shooting your shot.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a reply, just let it go, drop it.
Yeah, like, I receive nudes.
On a regular, or is it just like...
Yeah, on a regular. Like, and I'm talking about from both sexes, men and women. And it's like, that's kind of why I don't go through those things anyway, because Instagram doesn't show you what the picture is. It just says sensitive thing and it blocks it out. So when you click it is when you see it and you're like,
right.
But there's something like, shooting your shot is cool. Like, there's no problem with shooting your shot. But understand that just because you shoot your shot doesn't mean that the person has to reciprocate those emotions and those feelings. And then some people are just very, like, I noticed that there's certain followers that they'll follow me based on maybe their sexual attraction towards me. And if I don't reciprocate that, then the kind of the activeness or the activity of their Twitter. Like, because I may not reply to everybody, I see it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so I can see who are the regulars to like and to comment and who are the regulars to DM and stuff like that. And I'll notice, like, if they make moves towards me and I don't reciprocate those moves, then suddenly the whole of the likes and the comments and all of those types of things follow. And I'm like, I get it, but...
Do
you know what I mean?
I think more social media rejection is probably more powerful than actual physical rejection.
That's probably because they don't ever get physical rejection, because physical rejection is painful. What is it? The thing is, I would much rather somebody just not show me any, like, say for example, I like you, and I'm sending you messages, and you just don't reply. I've got the message.
Yeah.
Do you get it? From like the first, I get the message, you don't like me. Cool. I'm moving on. There's millions of people on social media. But that, like, there's plenty of people that I might follow them because I like them. But if I shoot my shot and it don't work, if I see you post a picture, I'm still going to continue that activity.
Yeah, of course.
Just because you don't like me doesn't mean, do you know what I mean? Just because when it's not that doesn't mean that I have to stop now supporting you actively because what? I didn't want your vagina. I didn't want your penis. Right. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
You look like you could be on the tip of like dropping names right now. Like, I know. I can see in your face. You got people, and you're like, he's trying hard not to drop any names.
I'm very blunt, classy.
You're just blunt. All right.
No, on top of that, I'm blunt, but I'm classy. Okay. I would never name names. It would never be that.
Okay, cool.
Do you know
what
I mean? I'm not messy, but yeah, they know who they are. And I know who they are.
That's true. On the addictiveness and the mental kind of health of social media, like, I know you've had other interviews where you've talked about that on topics and stuff. So, like, I don't know, what's your thoughts on the addictiveness of social media and how people kind of, I don't know, react in different ways in general?
You know what? Have you seen Ready Player One?
I have, actually. I saw it last week.
There's the end of the movie, like the end of the movie, what they did was like, you're not allowed to use the game on like,
on Tuesdays and Thursdays and stuff. Yeah.
I think social media needs to
be something like that. I thought about that and I was like, that's actually a good idea. That's true.
Because it's funny, things are called social media, but we're so unsocial.
It's so true.
It's weird, like, people will be, like, it's weird, yeah? I'm not going to name names because you're a very cool girl. No, she's actually a very cool girl.
Okay, cool.
But we were speaking on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We even exchanged numbers, yeah? Yeah? The other day, I went to my friend's headline show. And this girl's there. She's taking us pictures and stuff, yeah? And literally, we was around each other for about maybe 2 hours, yeah? And then I went home.
You know what? I've been in them situations.
When I got home, she sends me a message like, it was nice to see you today. So I was lost, bro.
Wow.
Bro, I was like, because I literally landed in my house. And I got the text on Twitter and I was like, huh? I was so confused. And then I said, what? I said, that was you. She was like, yeah, I didn't look that different. And the thing is, she didn't look that different.
Right.
But I just did not clock.
Right.
And I was just there like, yo, you could have said something. Do you get what I'm saying? We're so social on social media, but then we're not like that. So I genuinely think that. There needs to be, and especially because depression, suicide, all of these things are increasing.
Right.
It's increasing and social media is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying? And I think we need to limit the access.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that's a good idea.
No, I do. Don't I agree. Use social I agree. Media on I Tuesdays think, and yeah, Thursdays. Yeah, yeah.
Get that 2 days to actually focus on your goals and get in line with life. Do you know what I mean? Because, bro, it doesn't make sense. Like, there's too many people dropping.
Yeah, it's and true.
At one point, I felt like there were so many people that was just like, every other day it was like, this person committed suicide, that person committed suicide. And I was just sitting there thinking, that's mad.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy.
I'm not saying that's the only thing that contributes to them committing suicide, but social media and self-deprecation is a big part of it. It's a
huge part of it.
It's mad.
Yeah. On those Tuesdays and Thursdays, what do you think people... what would you do? What would you do?
Spend time with family. Okay. Go out to the park. Mm-hmm. Go to the movies. Go to Nando's. Eat something. Go to the arcade. Find something to do. Just so social.
Everything that we used to do before the internet. Yeah,
meet people. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually meet people.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was... On Tumblr years ago, there was this thing called Blackout.
I remember that,
is basically just black people. So one day, you know, black people just post selfies to encourage. Mm. They started to do like these things where you'd actually have meetups. Do you know what I mean? So it took it off the internet and actually was in physical. Do meetups, meet people, enjoy people, learn people, tolerate, learn how to meet
people. Tolerate people. That's a huge thing.
Yeah. And I think even... I'm going to quickly cut to the reason why I named my project Illusions. Yeah?
Okay, go ahead.
Was because of social media and because of my presence on like Backchat and the internet and stuff like that, I felt like there was all of these facades and these creations about who Adrian was.
Right.
And that's why I called it Illusions, because the whole, and that's the reason why I'm so open about everything, is because it's like, it's time to break that illusion.
Oh, definitely.
There's so many people that meet me and they're like, "Raw, I actually thought you were going to be different." And I'm like, why? Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, why? They're like, "You're actually a cool guy." And I'm like, yeah, but why did you think that in the first place? Do you get what I'm saying? And I feel like when we see people on social media, we create all of these
perceptions
of who they are and who they may not be. Meet people, man. Mm. Because that's how you have fun in life. Like, meet people. Stop creating. And a lot of these things is you create these perfect images of people on social media. You meet them and they're not like that.
Yeah. It's true.
Meet people. Get out and meet people.
Cool. Fantastic. Right. Let's actually talk about your project. Let's go on to Angel's Lie. Mm. I heard it and I love it. It's a great song. There's another song which we won't talk about yet, but you sent me the second single and I'm blown away by that. But let's keep to Angel's Lie first. Explain the story behind Angel's Lie.
Okay. So Angel's Lie, when I wrote it, was about a relationship. It's not really a relationship, though. That's the thing. It was more like a situationship. Situationship.
Swag.
It was about a situationship.
Cool.
That was in about summer of university, mm-hmm. one of them, maybe 2012.
All right.
I believe it was 2012. And we got into a situationship and mm-hmm. it wasn't supposed to be more than that.
Right.
But then we kind of got gassed. And we thought it was going to be something that it didn't turn out mm-hmm. to be. And I think, but there's some other references, like so there's some references to like a past relationship that I had just before university okay. as well. So usually I culminate a couple of things, but the main basis of it was that relationship in 2012.
Right.
And it was just about the loss of innocence, man. Mm. And I tried, when I was writing it, I tried to not play the blame game
mm-hmm.
because I noticed that there's a lot of relationship songs here where it's like, you ain't,
yeah.
it's your fault.
Right.
And but in that situation, it was honestly just like, both of us just weren't prepared for what started to happen. And then obviously, we, as the song said, we made a promise to never let go. But right. Angel's Lie, like, we both let go, but we also promised that we wouldn't. So it was just about the loss of innocence. It was my first real situation like mm-hmm. that. So it was about the loss of innocence. And it came about because I gave myself a writing task. So I came up with some original chords
mm-hmm.
And I just played that. And then I sat there and I was like, okay, so how can I turn that into something
right.
like pop or R&B or whatever? But yeah.
It just came across that way.
Mm.
I like it, man. It's a lot. Like, what were the main, in that situationship, what were the main kind of like deal breakers in particular for to be like, all right, cool. Or you'd like the red flags that you saw that were coming to be like, you know, this is actually getting a bit peak.
One night we spent in a hotel.
Right.
Me and her. The first time I ever did that. Yeah. Paid for hotel. These times I'm broke. I'm a university student. Let's be honest. I'm a university student.
Yeah. That was really it. Like that.
I think I just started working.
Okay.
So I maybe had a little bit of money to spend, but not enough.
Yeah.
Spent the night in the hotel. It was great. And then after that, like, communication started to drop.
Okay.
So we went from talking like every day, like morning messages
right.
and all of that to like maybe a message every 4 hours
right.
or every 3 hours. And you notice something's happening. And then I think by the time I got to uni, because we was on summer holiday in it, mm-hmm. so it was one of that spring, whatever, world romances in the mm-hmm. summer. Maybe it was just hot, you know, it's just the heat.
The heat.
and then, yeah, so by the time I got back to uni, so I was about maybe mid-September, October times, like communication had just dead, died out, you know what I mean? And then I think 2 or 3 weeks after that, she came back to me and told me that she had a boyfriend. And then wow. I was sitting there confused because I was like, so does that mean that you and him were talking when the time?
Yeah,
like,
he started asking these questions.
Yeah, and then she was like, nah, we weren't talking when that was going on. But I'm not stupid. Like, obviously, again, that's what I'm saying. It's not like I was saying, yeah, we're girlfriend, boyfriend. It was just fun. Do you know what I mean? It was just literally supposed to be like enjoying the summer or whatever. But then we got too invested into the emotional section of it. And she found someone else that was relationship worthy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who kind of stopped the communication? Was it mainly her? Or was it mainly her?
Yeah, definitely.
And was you thinking through that process, or did you kind of go and contact her and say, yo, what's up? Or how did you kind of process that?
Of course,
that?
You contact her, yeah, and then it'll be like, oh, yeah, I've just been busy with work. But then it'll be a situation, you've been busy with work all the time.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So what's the difference now? Oh, mm-hmm. I'm changing jobs. Okay, cool. But yeah, do you know what I mean? So
right.
It would be silly little statements and stuff like that, and you'd know. You clocked.
Right.
And yeah, after a while, I just stopped trying. really.
Cool. All right. Scenario. You're in a new relationship or you're in a new situationship. Mm-hmm. This person's great. Everything's going well. And then, out of the blue, there's a few other kind of deal breakers. How would you kind of guard yourself, or how would you kind of learn from previous situationships, quote unquote? Or what would you do? Would you kind of turn it into a relationship or keep it as a situationship? Or what would you do in that situation the second time around?
I can't lie to you. If it was a second time around, the first thing I would want, because I'm older now, innit? So the first thing I want to know is like what you're on.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like we both need to be on the same page, mm-hmm. because I want to bring the next girl I bring home to my mother. I need to be able to have kids with and have
them ones there.
Like, honestly, like I'm.
It's at that age
I'm
now, isn't it, bruv? Yeah, I know.
I want to have some babies.
I know them ones, man.
I'm ready for a child. I'm ready for a little baby. So the next person I bring home is definitely someone that I can marry, have kids with. Do you get what I'm saying? So before you even get an introduction to the family, like I need to make sure that me and you are on the same page. Yeah, page. Period. Because I think once we're on the same page, once all our cards are on the table, we can then say, all right, cool, I don't like that. Or, you know, and we could, it's just easier to move on. But the situationship, like, I ain't even sexually active right now. So it's like, the situationships, I'm kind of over that. Put your cards on the table. If they match, let's go.
I think it's a thing of, I hear what you're saying. You're absolutely right. I think with you being like, you're saying you're not sexually active and stuff, I think it's because... Well, I'm just assuming, but for me, I'm in the same situation. Like, I'm just so focused on my calling and what I'm like called to do that everything else is just secondary.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, yeah, you finding that right person, you've got to understand you, and you've got to be on the same level and all that stuff.
That's 100.
I think that's very key.
That's 100.
That's very, very key. There's a charity that you work with.
Yeah.
I'm dropping all these questions here, knowing that I've done your press kit and I've done all this stuff.
So,
I don't miss everything about you. But for people that are listening, explain the charity that you work with.
So it's called Youth Realities.
Okay.
And it's about handling kids or young adults that's been through domestic violence type situations.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you become like an ambassador for that?
You know what? So they followed me based on an episode that we did on Backchat.
Mm-hmm.
Which was about domestic violence.
Right.
And I believe the owner, she was... The reason why she started was because she was in a domestic violence situation at a young age.
Right.
So when she followed me, I was like, yo, I've got a similar story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 5, I was sexually molested. So then I'm cool with that. Not cool with it, but I'm...
But it's a journey.
I've healed understand that. From
yeah,
that, yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. So when she was there, I thought it would be a good platform for me to go and deal with young people who's perhaps been through the same situations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily sexual molestation, but be able to use my craft as a musician to teach them how to use those energies into something productive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. That's what my role is.
Your role is.
As an ambassador.
And are you still in the process of doing your own one as well?
Mm-hmm.
Explain that. Your own charity.
So we are planning a charity called Educate JA.
Okay.
And Educate JA is basically, by the age of about 32, 33, I want to be able to go to Jamaica for a year and give free education to adults and free after-school classes to kids, including cultural events. So we take them across the country and show them, you know, important sites from, you know, the Arawaks, the Maroons, the slaves, no, the enslaved Africans, and just historical things across the country. The idea is to start a clothing line, and from the clothing line, a proceed of that would go towards building up the funding to be able to go and offer that.
That's really good. So that's a lot you just said in there.
Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack because you're going back to your home country to rebuild, which is amazing. I think
we need to do that, bruv.
Let's not go there today, but we need to. You're absolutely right. And then the fashion as well. Obviously, people know that know you for your fashion, your style, and how well you dress, which is great. So merging the two together and then the singing as well, it just works. It just works perfectly. So I hope that really does go really well. There was another thing I was going to ask you on the charity side of things. Fashion brands, that's what it was. Which brand in particular? Would you want to collaborate with a brand, or would you kind of want to just start out from scratch and then how would you want that to
work? No, I'm going to start out from scratch. Okay. I've got the name and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you're not obviously going to give that out yet. No. Prematurely and stuff.
Because I want to launch out my website along with a little thing that I'm doing called Illusions, which is a picture book. Which I'll be working with other brands as well. Nice. So I'm trying to gather a lot of brands. Like, firstly, the first brand that I'm working with right now is one called Drifters London. So the Illusions picture book first, and then we're going to come out with the clothing line.
Nice. Let's talk about the future of Adrian. So you're saying by 33, 32, or mid-30s at least, you want to have established a charity, brought out a fashion brand. Anything else on the public figure kind of side? You want to be acting?
Yeah, I want to be honest.
Hosting, that type of thing?
How rude. It's my mother.
Shout out to Mumsy.
So, I definitely want to act.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to act.
What style of, what kind of roles or what kind of genres? Comedies, anything, horrors, anything?
Anything, like, anything. Because like that, I grew up doing that.
Right.
So I love acting. So I definitely want to go back into acting. Mm-hmm. I would love to do more public speaking.
Okay.
Talking to young people about race, about, you know, society and stuff like that. I think is very important.
Exactly.
I'm trying to just travel more.
Right. Same for me. Yeah. I need to be traveling a lot more this year.
I'm trying to travel.
I've been putting my head too much in admin and
I'm just trying to create experiences.
Good.
I think that's the future for me, creating experiences and creating a legacy in terms of the music, in terms of the philanthropy, in terms of, you know, just leaving something behind so that people can say, yo, he actually wanted to make the world a better place. You know, however far I can get with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the future. But musically,
we got a project. Yeah, you gotta wait for that.
No, they ain't gonna wait. They gonna know.
Okay, good.
We've got the Illusions EP that's coming out this year. Then after that is the Rich Girls Don't Marry Poor Boys EP.
Mm-hmm.
No, not EP, album, actually.
Wow, it's gonna
be an album. And just creating innovative new music. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I just want to be known as somebody that pushes the boundaries to music.
That's good. We need that.
And the stuff that I've already started writing and started to produce for like The Rich Girls Don't Marry Poor Boys, like that is deep stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, because I just, with the music and just with everything, I just want to be free. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I talk about like the death of my grandfathers in a track that I've already written for the album. I talk about, you know, certain ways I felt about my dad, you know, I'm planning to write a song about my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I'm just literally giving you everything.
Everything.
As much as I can.
Artists should be able to like express everything and just have nothing left anyway. Yeah. That's really, really good. Yeah. Right, quick kind of fire question rounds. I've got a few questions here. On your first day, these are really random, by the way. I just got them off the internet. On your first day as president or prime minister, what would you do?
I don't think I can say that.
All right, give us the second thing.
Because you know what the thing is? Funnily enough, speaking of future of Adrian, just quickly.
Go ahead.
It's always been my dream since I was young to go into Jamaican politics at a later stage in my life.
Right.
And considering what the Chinese are doing to my country, the first thing I would do is definitely kick them out.
Okay.
Goodbye, sir.
Right.
You know, because it's colonialization. Yeah. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing it in Africa as well.
Yep.
So
yep.
The first thing I would do is kick them out
mm-hmm.
And just take control of the land again and make it for the people. I don't think we've had a black leader that's been allowed to make a country about black people.
Right.
You know, it's not about creating a fictional Wakanda, but actually creating a sustainable black country that that is sustainable on black sources, you know?
Of course. And we have a lot of resources.
And on top of that, we have such hardworking people. Like when you go to the country every morning, like you're driving on the motorway, you see families selling fruit, you see families. So we have such hardworking people, and that's why I wanted to, that's why I want to create the charity Educate JA, is because I want to give those functional skills to those people that they can go and create the Jamaica that they because and the biggest problem is us as Jamaicans, we're running away from our country and people are running to our country. We're running away from our country because we want opportunities and people are running to our country because they want opportunities. Does that make sense to you? So it's like, I want to give those people the functional skills to be able to create the future in their homeland and only have to leave it if they decide to, if they want to. You know what I mean? So
do you think it's the mindset of our people as well? Because I remember my mum went to Jamaica, I think it was last year. She was staying with family. And they had a whole load of, like, in their garden, like, some sort of fruit that practically can be used to, like, cure cancer and diseases and stuff like that. And it's, like, just an abundance of it in the garden. And they wouldn't sell it. And they would just keep it and just... And my mum was just like, people, investors are willing to pay you money to use it as, you know what I mean? Not to buy the land, but at least, like, use the supply from the land. You see what I'm saying? And the resources from it. And they were like, no, we don't want to. Do you know what I mean? So is it the mindset of our people that needs to change?
It's a mindset thing. And I was speaking to Hypertone about it.
Right.
And he was like, we need young people from the country like ourselves to go back in it. And on top of that, it's the education. A lot of these people don't know contracts. They wouldn't even know where to go and sell this. And then if they were, they wouldn't know if they're getting a fair price and stuff like that. So again, that's why the functional skills and just the working knowledge and having the ability to know, do you know what I mean? Know how to access information, know what to do when you get that information. I think being able to give them that, you know, there's a saying, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day or whatever, or you can teach him to fish and feed his family for generations. Right. And what I want to do with Educate JA is teach them how to fish, teach them how to learn, teach them how to imagine and create. You know what I mean? I'm not going there to give you anything. I'm going there to teach you. And I think that's important in terms of changing mindsets. Because what we have to understand is not about changing old people's mindset.
That's true.
It's not. It's about changing the younger people's mindset. That's and those people thing. Can be changed.
That's a very deep thing you've just said.
Yeah,
there.
Because the it's not that the old people cannot change, but they're not the future.
You're right.
And as sad as that sounds, they're not. The people who are going to be the decision makers of tomorrow is who you need to,
of course,
to attack. You need to get the mindset of the young people. And so that's the main goal of me. So yeah, the first thing I'll do is kick the Chinese up.
That's dope. this is going to be an easy question, but Nicki Minaj or Rihanna?
Riri,
of course. Two artists that you would love to collaborate with. That's a good one, actually.
Yeah, I would love. That would be dope.
I could actually see that song coming out as a hit.
That would be so good. Miguel and Rihanna, actually.
Okay. That'd be dope.
I think that would be lit.
That would be lit.
Yeah. Definitely. I think it could work.
if fans came to see you perform at a sold out show, so the show was sold out.
Yeah.
Where would the location of that show be, or locations?
Kingston, Jamaica.
Right.
You know what? That would be ideal. Just to go home in glory, man. That would just be so wonderful. Just have my people celebrating.
That's dope.
That would be so wonderful.
Strangest DM question. That just baffled you, like, he's got it.
It's hilarious, yeah, because it's the stupidest thing I've ever read in my life. I was so lost, yeah. So there was
I can see your face now, just looking at the question like, what?
I was so lost. Basically, this girl one time, she kept messaging me and kept messaging me and I didn't reply. Because again, the thing is, you can't reply to everybody.
Everybody. And you've got how many followers?
Too many.
Right.
And she, she, and they're going up every day, right? So right. She messaged, she kept messaging me and I didn't reply. And then one day she sent me an inbox. She was like, Adrian, you're such a whore. But we're not. This is why I'm a whore, because apparently me and Omar had sex. That's the strangest DM I've ever received. Because in my brain, I thought, firstly, me and the boy don't even, we can't sit, bro. Me and Omar can't stand each other, one.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And then two, we don't talk. So I could get it if you saw us in you know, constantly together or, do you know? Yeah. But you've never seen me and Omar outside of being on a back chat set, right? Yeah. Cool. And then two, if that did happen, how the hell did you know if it was, how would you know?
Right.
Because I ain't saying that, and he ain't saying that. So who would have told you?
Yeah,
I felt like she just wanted me to reply to her because it was so ridiculous. Yeah, that I feel like she just wanted like a reply.
Right.
But yeah, that's the strangest one I've ever received. Like,
that's crazy.
I was proper baffed. Yeah. I was like, of everybody, please. It was so mad. But yeah, that's the strangest one.
Last but not least, do you have a book that's changed your life other than the Bible, obviously?
There's a couple.
Okay, go for it, shoot.
Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGroy.
Okay.
The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The New Jim Crow: Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness by Michelle Alexander.
Wow, you went in, bro. Word for word. You good?
There's one, but I can't remember the author. And it's just about like great black people throughout history.
Okay.
But you can get that on like Amazon and stuff.
All right.
So those books.
Wow. That's a deep.
And there's the Willie Lynch letters.
I'm going to have to go check those all out.
Read the Willie Lynch letter. Okay. Because it teaches you how to condition people. It teaches you the understanding of how you condition people by saying this is
how they... Give us an example.
So, for example, in the Willie Lynch letters, it talks about how they would domesticate the black man by beating him in front of his wife and his children so that it showed them that the man had no power.
Wow.
So even if they wanted to uprise, the men, you
know,
unable
they would, to because they weren't. Wow.
And then they compared it to horses, you know, about domesticating horses. And then they compared it to domesticating like the black man.
Wow, that's interesting.
So it teaches you how to condition people because that child seeing their father in that position.
Oh yeah, that's traumatic.
It keeps it going. And Dr. Joy DeGroy, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. Mm. That's an interesting book because she talks about the kind of long-lasting psychological effects of slavery on the black community as a whole.
Wow.
And funnily enough, in that book, that's when I realized that I had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
Or I was manifesting parts of parts post-traumatic of it, stress
on the spectrum
disorder.
Spectrum or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So those are very interesting.
I'm going to have to check all those out. All right, cool. Have you got any live shows coming up?
I got Breathe coming up.
Nice, explain that.
Breathe is my next song.
Okay.
Is my amazing, amazing song that Fair and Was Affair to talk about.
Mate, I remember when you sent me the song, I was working, I was deep in admin, trust me, hard. My brain was not even listening. Like, I was just in emails and just booking clients or whatever. And you were like, bro, I got this song. So I was like, yeah, send it, cool. And it wasn't even finished yet. You did half the song.
Yeah, it was like the first.
It wasn't mixed, it wasn't mastered. You just did the verse and the chorus. I heard the first couple lines. I was like, pull up straight away. Straight away.
But
I was like,
what?
Yo,
the funny
dude.
Thing, the reason why I sent it to two people. I sent it to you and I sent it to Jude.
And oh, Draco.
Yeah, and the reason why I sent it to you guys was because I just did not know how I felt about the song.
Right.
I was just like, ugh. I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. Because Hypertone pushes you.
Oh, yeah. No,
and he
would.
Makes you do stuff.
He would. He
like,
will.
So
he
there's will. there's the head voicey bits.
Yeah.
Because I only ever use head voice as like a feature. I never use it as like a main thing.
Right.
And I'm using head voice a lot on the track.
But you control. It sounds very controlled, though.
Well, Yeah.
Like, you...
But
you,
because I think, you know, and he said something to me that was amazing. He said, it's not that it sounds bad, but rather you're not used to yourself sounding like that. And it wasn't until I sent it to you guys and then I didn't listen to the track for like 4 days.
Bruv, I was listening to that track for like 3 days.
So when you
straight.
Guys were bigging it up and you guys were like, no, that was this is sick, this is lit.
That was on repeat.
I didn't listen to it. It was about 4 days after that. Like, I literally, I started doing specific vocal workouts to strengthen like the head voice because I was like, if it's, you know, if I'm going to do it, it's going to have to be done right. And then I started listening to it after that 4th day period because I think I had a session with Hypertone the next day. So I was like, okay, I need to like work on the second verse and stuff like that. And I listened to it and I was like, this is actually good. And then, you know, the finished version is incredible.
Wow.
It's incredible. Like,
so when's that coming out?
August.
So that's around the corner.
That's literally in 2 weeks. It's supposed to come out in 2 weeks. So August 3rd. Two new tracks. So
I'm pushing that everywhere. I'm pushing that everywhere because everyone needs to hear that.
Man. And we're filming the video for that on the 28th. So that's next week.
What was the video shoot you did the other day? What was that for? I'm sure you said you did another video shoot or something. Mm-mm. Oh, that might have been for Angels Light, actually.
Oh, that was my schedule.
Yeah, probably. My schedule's well off. Okay. I'm looking forward to the video.
Breathe the video.
August 3rd.
Yes.
All platforms?
All platforms. So the video is not coming out August 3rd.
Okay.
But the songs, we're pushing those two songs from August 3rd,
That's amazing. Any live shows coming up?
Not at the moment. Right now, I'm waiting. You know what? I just want to solidify my name and my music.
Great.
Because I don't want to go there. And if I'm performing and I sing somebody else's song, it's by choice, not by necessity. Right. You know what I mean? I need to get paid for these things.
No, really. I agree.
So I need to solidify my, like, I need to put out more music. So I've just put a hold on shows for now just to perfect myself. And on top of that, with working, with, you know, management, with everything that I do, trying to get the music off the ground, I just really don't have the time to add rehearsals for live shows in that mix. And I don't want to go on stage and do anything ridiculous. So
I hear that.
My plan is to just continuously put out great music for the next maybe 6 months.
That's good. That's a good plan.
And quit my job.
Yeah.
So the next goal is to quit the job,
mate,
and then focus on music. And when I focus on music, then I'm gonna be performing everywhere.
Great. That's what I'll make sure bookings are coming through.
Amen.
That's gonna happen.
That's the aim.
Even though you probably don't want to do this, let people know where they can find you on social media.
So,
like I said,
this is the first time I'm going to tell people this.
Oh, gosh.
On this podcast. My official website is done.
Oh, snap.
So it's adriancash.com.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's good to know.
And adriancash.com has links to everything.
Okay, cool. Right. So everyone needs to go to adriancash.com. Yeah. Don't bother go to your social media. Go to the website.
Yeah, go to the website. Get those numbers going up. Or if you know you don't use websites. All my socials are I am Adrian. I am Adreyn. And I'm burping like a.
I'll edit it. Don't worry.
You might as well leave them in because I've said it now. But now, all my social medias are I am Adrian.
Right.
I am Adreyn.
Cool. Fantastic. Thank you for coming on to the show. And we also want to shout out Outset Studios for sponsoring the show, giving us this amazing room and space. And if you want to know more about, Outset Studio, go to www.outsetstudio.com. Until next time, guys, signing out. Peace.
Swag.